Live from the Pathway Studios in Johnston proper, you are Live from the Path.
Pathway Studios here in Johnston proper.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
Are you talking to me?
Everyone. And the world.
Stop speaking when I'm speaking.
Well, how do you know I wasn't going first?
I'm the designated color man today. I will make all the color commentary and the fancy stuff.
Hi is... Okay. Got it.
Hey, all right, here's the deal. You're listening live from the Path. We got a lot of sweet stuff going on.
Yeah, Ben has written on the back of a steno pad with no more paper in it. It's written completely on the cardboard part of it.
Here's the thing. I stopped at the gas station on the way here, and I thought, I got to pick up a steno pad because I feel like I have no way to keep notes, and there's a lot of cool stuff happening, and I should write it down. And I walked out of there with a large coffee, a two-pack of coffee cakes, and some chocolate milk. And I went in there for the steno pad, and I came out with 700 calories.
Wait, you went into a gas station for a steno pad?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I didn't even know a gas station sold a steno pad.
Here's the thing. I decided that I was spending too much money at the gas station,
yeah.
Right? And so like I said, this is the week that I'm going to change this. And so I went to the gas station. I bought a loaf of bread, a jar of jelly, a jar of peanut butter, and a package of plastic knives. It cost me $19.
Well, yeah, wouldn't that have been cheaper at an actual grocery store?
Yeah.
You're paying for the convenience part of the convenience store?
But I only know how to shop at the gas station. And so it felt awkward yet
comfortable.
He knows
where everything is.
We're going to do a Boova Educates Mike bit where I take you to a grocery store and we learn how to shop.
No, that place, the whole thing weirds me out. I can't stand to go to the grocery store.
Now, see, you mocked me because I went to the gas station for a steno pad, but I have recently purchased a steno pad at a gas station. I was on my way to Minneapolis for work, and I needed some gum, okay? So I stop. I mean, and this is like a mom and pop gas station off 35 North.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Okay, right. So I go in there, and this is a place where there's like a restaurant on one side, and there's a gas station on the other.
It's the best.
People frequent the restaurant. They do not go to the gas station. I mean, this thing has not been touched since 1973. There was a spider wearing a T-shirt that said "Woodstock or Bust" in there. That's what was happening.
Going okay?
So I go in there, and like. I was going to get the gum, but there's a $6 minimum on debit purchases. $6!
That is...
You're leaving with a lot of gum.
Because if you go in there, they have to have you pay $6, or they can't afford the lights that they just turned
on. They've gotten me by the man nipples is what it is. As soon as I'm in there, and I want some gum... And it's a $6 mandatory debit. So I'm hunting, pecking, trying to figure out what's going to justify $6 at the gas station. So, I mean, I've got some gum. I already had, like, soda with me. So I'm just picking out random. I bought some Band-Aids.
Then, you never know.
Yeah, definitely.
Here's the deal. The reason I picked up the Band-Aids is because I thought to myself, this is going to be the link in a chain of events of which the Holy Spirit is vindicated. Is I would have randomly had to spend a $6 minimum at a gas station. I bought Band-Aids, and somehow it's going to pay off in the Lord's glory.
Ben, I'm not sure what life-threatening situation you said occurs where a Band-Aid is going to be the bridge.
The Lord shows up through the Band-Aid.
Whereas the Lord would provide a situation like that, a Band-Aid will suffice.
Well, that's probably true, actually.
Right, anyway, so I bought $1.79 worth of paper, worth of a steno pad there, thinking that I'm going to go to the hotel and create some sort of manifesto.
Right.
And oh, man.
Here's what I did. I wrapped things in it like it was wrapping paper to pass the time in the hotel.
You practice it. You practice your gift wrapping with a steno pad in the hotel?
I
think the manifesto would have been less creepy.
Do not be alarmed if you get a stack of Band-Aids wrapped in steno paper for Christmas.
I'm so excited for this.
Now, to the glory of the Lord, this is not the best part of the show. Here's what's actually going on today. We have Dominic Cox with Driven 11 is back in the studio. Dominic, thanks for swinging out.
Hello!
Hey, man. So we had a lot of fun the last time he was here, and he agreed to come when it made a lot more sense with his tour to be in here. and now he's driven a long way to subject himself to my steno pad stories. And he's, to the benefit, though, he's brought two lovely ladies with him. Egypt Ali is here.
Hi.
Hi. Hello. Hiding. So I'm excited. She has a new album coming out, and so she's going to tell us a little bit about that, and she's going to do some spoken word stuff. I'm really excited about. If you've creeped the net, in fact, that's what you should have done. You should have creeped the net during the opening stuff, and soaked in some of Egypt's work. And then you could enjoy that kind of thing live, and then you wouldn't have to put up with that gas station business.
Yeah,
that's a life regret, and that's you need an accountability man. That's your fault. That's not my problem. Okay, and then also Andrea's in the studio. She's going to be lending sweet vocals to a couple cuts from Dominic's new album and new EP, and it's going to be a great show. It's going to be fantastic. They've got some cool stories about what God's been up to as they've been out on their tour, and I can't wait to share all that stuff with you. We also have some Secular versus Solomon. There's some good ones tonight, boys.
You guys are going down.
Yes.
Going down.
Yeah. So
Oh, you guys are all going down.
Uh-oh. Yep. Yeah, Booba's been...
Well, you keep the score. It's not
actually, I keep the score.
Mike keeps the score.
Oh, Mike's keeping the score.
Yeah, I win.
So whose line is it anyway?
Okay, so what you're saying is you're the one I need to bribe, right?
Yeah, it's a little late now. Obviously, I'm very well off. I make a lot of money, so cash is not going to do it. And good looks I already have. So, I mean...
Oh, I'm just... I know a vast majority of people who would disagree with that statement.
Well, okay, bribery's in order. what can we do here?
Okay, right. So we're going to do some Secular versus Solomon. If you've not been a part of the game before, I'm going to give a proverb, and you're going to have to guess, is that a biblical bit of wisdom, or is it from some secular source and then a country of origin? The point here is that where are we getting our wisdom from, right? Like, if someone says something wise, you're like, oh, that's from the Bible. And then, no, that's not. It's some guy in Paris that came up with that stuff. Like, you need to know the difference as to where you get your wisdom from. And so Secular Psalm should vet that out, much to your honor and shame.
Mostly so, shame.
Yeah, probably shame. Yeah. Okay, so we'll do that, and then Booba had a run-in with the street preacher?
I kind of did.
Give me the 50 Cent tour on this thing.
Okay, the 50 Cent tour is I was at school this past week with a couple of my friends that I have lunch with every day, and a guy walks up out of nowhere. I didn't even see him walk towards us, but he kind of pops up, and he says, hey, do you guys want to answer some trivia? But before that, he asked if I knew Jesus, and I said, well, absolutely, I do. I'm very excited that you asked me that because I'm excited to share about him. And he goes, do you want to answer some trivia questions? And I go, okay, well, that was an odd succession of questions. But yeah, sure, I'll answer some trivia questions. And he goes, I'll give you $1 for every time you answer a question right. And long story short, ended itself up with him asking a couple of non-Jesus questions, like who just got into the Hall of Fame for baseball and who wrote Thriller back in the 80s. I won that $1. Thank you very much.
Did Michael Jackson write it?
Yes, he did. Well done. You get $1.
Yeah,
good job. But that ended in him talking to my friends instead of me about Jesus because he decided that, well, he's all right.
he knows Michael Jackson.
Yeah, exactly, which was an interesting thing. This guy knows Jesus and Michael Jackson. I think he's well set off. He even called upon me to help him out in a story, and I'm just like, hey, man, I'm not in this deal. Like, don't bring me into your evangelism. Like, I'm happy to be a part of it. I've been doing it for a while, but, like, you showed up prepared for me not to be
right.
here.
What
so,
are you doing?
So I want to hear what you got without me.
What a sidecar's not available,
right,
you know?
Exactly. Like, I'm not going to be your accountability buddy. And that ended up into the placement of an awesome Bible track. And we have been habitually against Bible tracks in the show. And it was an interesting usage of this Bible track. So I'm excited to talk about it.
For yeah, okay. Yeah. All right. We'll pick up more on what Booba's got going on with Street Man at school.
Yeah.
All right, sweet. Well, let's get caught up with Dominic. Let's start with you. So since you have last been here, you released a new EP. You injured your eye in some sort of some sort of man ball
man battles.
It was heroic indeed.
A face to face business with another fella, and it sounds like God's been up to some really cool things while you guys have been out on tour.
Oh, absolutely. So a couple of things that are going on. We Driven 11 developed a 30-day faith in action challenge, which was designed to give people an ignited way to put prayer back into their life and every day and to seek him in everything we do. So that's been really awesome because we had the posters. We had the poster of me going, hey, look at me. I'm in a T-shirt. Yay. But then I was like, I really don't want those on anyone's wall. I'd rather have something that they could use and on a daily basis. So that's right. Where the faith in action challenge came up. But on this tour with Egypt and with Andrea, it's been a roller coaster. There's times we have no sleep. There's times we get plenty of sleep. I think that happened once.
The plenty of sleep?
Oh, yeah, the plenty of sleep one. But right from the first event at Camp Joy down in New York, it was for inner city kids. There was a little over 100-plus people there. And we didn't know what to expect. These were like heavy hitting, hard kids, and they were just a joy to be around at the same time. And right off the bat, half of them came to Christ.
Huh.
Like right after the concert, we were like, really? And we don't normally do altar calls, and that's the crazy thing.
Right.
Egypt rarely does that. And we're like, you know what? Wait, let's do this. Let's make this thing happen. And the Lord showed up in a powerful way, and it was really awesome to just kind of kick off the tour. And then as we moved on and we moved on, one of the things that Driven 11's brought on was Food for the Hungry as a partnership.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen a bunch of kids get sponsored down in Nicaragua. So since then, I've been to Nicaragua twice to visit some of the villages there.
Awesome.
But the tour has just been going every day. And another neat piece has been the fellowship that we've had. You know, when you're on tour, things happen. It gets a little weird sometimes. You're in a car for a long time.
Oh, right. Just a little.
Just a little. But we've been able to dig into scripture a whole lot and like learn more a lot about each other, have a lot greater fellowship and better understanding of each other, and to help each other out in different struggles that we have. And it's not always easy, but it's well been worth it. And we still have another week and a half left of the tour.
Yes, we do.
She does not sound excited about that.
Yeah, you're right. That sounded a little bit ominous there. So you're heading from here, we're in Des Moines, you're heading back. Ohio, you were saying this, like originally, like the intent was that you're going to kind of hang around the area, but it sounds like you got a cool opportunity at a school tomorrow.
Yeah, actually, Egypt is one that got connected with this one. Do you want to tell about it?
Yeah, sure. So my whole idea for this tour was to go California or bust, and we went bust. We actually, we had kind of the routing all planned out, and I'm talking like back in October or something like that was when we started booking the run. And slowly, like, it started getting turned around. We got about as far as here with you guys, and we get a call from Wisconsin, which is not California.
Definitely not, no.
Like, hey, you know, we've got two churches that would really love to have you. Oh, yeah, sure. So we'll take the quick detour up there. And, oh, by the way, Michigan and Indiana. And now we've kind of got the loop of all of the cold places in the U.S.
Right, right.
But tomorrow, we're actually headed back to Ohio, which I can kind of brag on as my home state, which I'm really excited about. But we have the opportunity to go into a charter school, which is just a little different. Like, we spoke at a Christian academy last week, and this is just going to be a little different. So the opportunity, while it has to be censored in some way just because of the environment,
sure.
The mission's still the same. Yeah. That's just to love on the kids that are there in whatever way that we can. We aren't Christian artists because we have God in our lyrics. We are Christian artists by the way that we exemplify his glory and his love.
Right.
And if that's through getting your butt kicked in basketball with a couple of sixth graders, let's do it.
Or a rap battle.
Now, I won that rap battle, thank you. I'm just putting that out there.
You got to find the video. You got to creep. Go.
It was a good video. So we were at Camp Joy, and one of the things... You know, I've never said it and had anybody take me up on it. I'll put it like that. That I say during my set is, I will stand here with you all night, if only to tell you that you're loved. And I mean it. Like, I've just never had to do it.
Right.
This was an overnighter. So it's an all-nighter for the kids. And they just wanted to play. So we finish our concert at, what, like 10 or so, would you say?
Yeah.
About 10 o'clock. And one of them says, yeah, do you want to come down and play some basketball? Sure, what time's basketball start? 1 in the morning. Okay.
Yeah.
Sure. So what are we going to do between now and 1 in the morning? Well, there's food and you can do this. And, oh, I have a friend that would love to talk to you. And we've got so much that we want to say. And I'm like, I value sleep.
Right.
I am one of the, I think might be one of the only people on this tour that actually sleeps at decent hours. And so I said, you know what? Like, I guess, I mean, I promised I would. So show's sure. And the next thing I know, it's 6 in the morning, and I haven't gone to bed yet. And it was just one of those moments where, you know, I hear my mother saying, you know, only say what you mean you'll do.
Right.
But at the same time, I did mean it, and I don't regret it at all.
Yeah.
I got to learn a lot more about them and what they're going through. Like, New York, and especially the Brooklyn area, is a whole different ball game than the middle of nowhere where they live, or Cleveland or Iowa. Like, there are unique struggles between like just gangs and violence, but also just brokenness that's there that you would never get to know about. And so I believe that through hanging out with them, I was able to gain a better understanding about kind of their human experience, and also a better appreciation of mine, but also the way that God sees us as his children. When he says that he's never going to leave you and he's never going to forsake you, he means it. And when you, at least when I say it, I never imagine that that is how he feels about us. So I get in the car the next morning, and they're all rested and ready to go. And I'm like, you know what, guys? I love you, but I will see you in like 6 hours. I'm going to time travel and go to sleep. And when I wake up, hopefully we'll be there, and then we'll talk about it. But I think like that so far, I know it kind of stinks. That was the first thing that happened on this tour. has definitely been probably the most impactful for me. So I am, needless to say, very excited about the school tomorrow. I'm excited to hang out. We're doing spoken word. Some of the kids are poets, which is great because poet, but bad because I like my job.
Yeah, what if they're terrible, though?
No, they're not terrible. No.
I'd have a real hard time when like a kid just pours his heart out and you're like, man, that's just awful. I mean, that's just really, really bad.
They try to rhyme something with orange or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, you have to tell them because you love them, right? That's what I tell my kids. I tell you,
you
you're
encourage
doing the wrong thing.
And redirect. We don't squash little children.
I encourage
children.
You to
that's
stop doing this as a career. It's just not going to work out for you.
Hey, Mike, I don't think they're going to invite you to that school now.
Yeah, bye, Mike.
I minister in different ways.
But yeah,
I guess there's people out there doing what you do.
Yeah, so long story short, I'm excited to go to Ohio. I will be 5 hours from home, something like that. But we're still back at least in my state with my corn.
Right on.
So that's all we've got. We've got 21 Pilots, Cedar Point, the Cavs, don't mention the Browns, and corn. Like, that's it.
Right on.
So, I don't even know Ohio was known for corn.
You go the wrong way. Take, like, 90 the wrong way.
Yeah, get lost.
Oh, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yep.
I've been through Ohio a couple times. Never saw it. All right, cool.
You know, there's the guy that farms the field around my house. Like, he rotates corn and soybeans every other year, you know. Except for, like, he's been on a soybean kick the last 3 years. And it makes me so angry because the corn hides the highway, right? Like, you feel like you're in your own special tropical island when the corn's running. But when the soybeans, it just looks like there's annoying weeds everywhere. And that you just don't keep the place up, you know? So I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said any of that stuff out loud. It just occurred to me.
Country living problems.
Just occurred to me that I was hoping it was a corn year. I'm sorry.
We're going to start talking about fertilizer.
Yeah, exactly. Have you driven your combine recently? Man,
it's actually
I had
none
a lot
of guys'
fun
business.
When I did mine.
I shouldn't even have brought it up. Oh,
man, representing Iowa.
Well, the other thing with corn, too, is it does a great job at blocking the wind, which we found out driving here today.
Oh, right. Yeah,
like,
yeah,
corn was all shut down, and I wake up. First of all, I woke up, and nothing was outside, and that's how I knew I was in Iowa. And then I realized that we were kind of getting buffeted around everywhere.
I've been buffeted before. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, man, it was nasty out today, and it was starting to hail, and I turn around, and one of my kids has gone outside and collected it into a bowl.
Oh, my
and
gosh.
Was planning to eat it like a cereal.
No.
Your kid, the hail?
Yeah, like she had scooped it all up and put it into a bowl.
Honey,
I love
that's
your kids.
Nana.
Hey, your kids crack me up something fierce.
This kid is double digits still making this type of decision in life. I say, here's what I said. I said, babe, when you fly in an airplane and you use the bathroom, they just flush that into the air and the hail picks that stuff up. You're gonna need an airplane doozer.
Wow.
Hey,
that's actually, by that description, I'll have one. That sounds all right.
We discovered the hail, too.
Wow. I'll take it.
My windshield is now cracked from the hail.
Oh, no.
Oh, no, sorry. Insurance covered.
Oh, good. Okay.
But it's just like,
oh, yeah, okay.
Well, all right. Fair enough. That was a quick turn of events for me. I'm like, I was trying to show that I care, guys.
All right, I tell you what. Let's dig in a little bit on the EP. So, first of all, tell me a little bit about, like, when you're getting ready to release an EP, like, do you just, like, you barely get five and you're like, well, it's time to cut this thing around? I mean, or is there like a method to this madness where you're like, these are the I got 15? Because some people just write all the time and then whittle, and some guys are like, hey, these are the ones that I do, and that we're going to put this out.
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm a Christian artist,
uh-huh.
So five songs is a lot. So
as soon as you write one where the words are holy, 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 you're like, well, that's taken. I can't really do that again.
You got to say it a fourth time. Be original.
I came up with a song. It's like, God's an awesome God. Well, I guess that's
man.
Out now.
What other adjectives are there?
Here's the deal. Water references.
God, you are like blank.
when you're looking for like biblical repetition to words, like it starts to really amp up, right? You can do three, and you're like, okay, that seems to be biblical. And then you're up to four completion, seven completion,
yeah.
12 holies,
just thousand,
a thousand hills.
Mm-hmm.
It's a problem. All right. So you got it. Your new EP. You've got a couple tunes that you're going to share with us tonight. Let's tell me a little bit about Open Wide.
Open Wide. Okay. So Open Wide. You know what? I don't want to talk about that one.
No, I don't either.
No, I'm kidding.
I mean, yeah, I do.
I can't.
Stop pulling a meat.
All right, that hurts me.
Open Wide was one of the songs that was written for Driven 11 by the producing team of Lift Productions. And we go through different songs. We kind of bring some to the table. They bring some to the table. And we try to see what's going to fit the purpose of the CD. And this one was just a good fit because it's just, it talks about our current sufferings and that we all have them. But he's there to return. Or to take and return. You know what? Words are sometimes hard when you've been driving all day.
I understand.
That we can always return to him. His arms are open wide, regardless of how we feel about ourselves or him or anything. He's still there waiting. And that's the whole point of the song. And it just seemed like the best fit for the Left Field album.
Sweet. Sweet. All right. Well, let's dig up on it. Andrew, you're in on this one, right?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. So let's do this is Open Wide with Dominic and Andrea of Driven 11. You're listening to Live from the Path.
Sometimes it seems so hard to know the way. Running out of roads left to take. You tell yourself it's gonna be okay, but you're broken inside, so ashamed. So what are you running from? And what are you scared you'll find? Love is calling, just come back home. His arms are open wide. His arms are open wide. Did you think that he couldn't see the burden you are folding underneath? He's not and never was your enemy. All of this time, he's waited patiently. So what are you running from? What are you scared you'll find? Love is calling, just come back home. His arms are open wide. His arms are open wide. Calling, just come back home to arms open wide. His arms are 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 open wide.
That was Open Wide, and Dominic and Andrew, thank you very much. That was great. Where can they pick this thing up, brother? Where can they get that EP at?
Where can you get the EP at? Oh, man, you know, you can just go right to driven11.com. I'm on the Facebook, the Twitters, and Instagrams, and all that other stuff. Just go to driven11.com, and you get everything you need.
Awesome. You can pick that up. Actually, I knew the answer to that. Now I feel silly.
Man. Hey, man, I feel like you lied
iTunes.
I got it. Trying to play it off like you didn't know.
It's a sin of omission, isn't it? That's what I've done. I'm like, hey, I don't know where to get it. Dang. I got it from Amazon. That's where I downloaded it, signed it up on the Amazon.
Sweet.
And you can, pick it up right there. It's good to go. There's a picture of him. It looked like somebody chucked him into the water. I mean, it could be a baptism thing. It could be a I'm just sick of you type of thing.
A face Nirvana first cover.
Yeah. Nirvana cover. So, yeah, here.
It is not a Nirvana
that's
cover.
That's the deal. His face is in there. And that's what I thought of. I thought of the baby on the Nirvana thing. He looks clothed in that one, so I think this is going to be fine.
Clothes get heavy in the water, by the way.
Yeah, hey.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, well, dude, it was crazy. We were in the water.
That shouldn't have been new to you, should it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was in the water for an hour doing this photo shoot.
Oh, yeah.
That was intense, holding your breath. And I figured out halfway through that I was doing this. Cheeks blown out. And I was like, oh, I better stop doing that because that doesn't look good for a picture.
Right. That doesn't look like joy and salvation and peace and stuff. Dude, it looks like a man about to kick the bucket. Enjoy my
new
peaceful record.
Blowfish.
The Lord is always waiting for you on death's door. Yeah, you're right. That's the wrong vibe, dude.
Deprivation. Driven 11.
My burden is light unless you're dying.
Oh, man. I like it.
Boo also likes that shirt, so take that into account.
Hey, man, stop dogging on my shirt.
So here's the thing, is what I really liked, the lines I really liked from that song is the what are you running from and scared of what you'll find. And when you bring it home with the arms open wide thing, I know I got like 10 people that I pray about just about every night, right? And I'm like, this is what I'm praying for them to get. Right? This is what I'm praying for them to understand. Not any theological point, not anything crazy and complicated, but like when God said that the separation between them and him was done, he meant it. It was done. And like the only reason you're not interested in that is because you are scared of what you're going to have to give up to get there. Right? And the things that he asks and the things that he sets you free from on your journey there. But like I really appreciate that song for that idea right there. It was very cool.
You're listening live from the Path. We're hanging out with that's me. We're hanging out with Driven 11 and Egypt Ali.
Yeah, and Mike and Bova.
Yeah, we're here. We're very excited to be here. Thanks, Mike.
All right. Anyway, that's what we're doing. We're hanging out with the Affirmation folks. So, Egypt, I want to talk a little bit with you.
Yeah, sure.
So you have an album coming out, yes?
I do. March 21st.
Awesome. So tell me a little bit about is there a broad theme to the album?
Absolutely. So the album itself is called Letters and Scars. When I was younger, my mother used to try to help me figure out stuff and just little kid anger by writing letters. And so I can remember probably about as young as like 6 or 7 sitting down and writing these essays that I thought were really well planned out and penned.
Right.
About, I don't want to do my chores because it's boring and it's just crud like that.
Well argued.
Right. I came up with all these great reasons and I would address them, but sometimes I didn't send them. And so I realized as I got older, I had so many of these letters that can now probably fill a landfill all on their own. The issue was when I got older, I started struggling with things that didn't have a mailing address. So I could be mad at my chores, which I could address to my mother. But soon I began dealing with doubt and depression and anxiety and questions themselves, just wrestling with what those things could be.
Right.
And a lot of that struggle resulted in a lot of scars, both literal and emotional or mental or what have you. So Letters and Scars is literally every poem is a letter to one of the things that I wish I could talk to. And it's providing kind of that healing and that closure that I never really got because I couldn't talk to it, that I wish that I had, if that makes any sense at all. So,
no, that does. That's a cool thought, right? Like places where we want where I want an answer or where I want to understand.
Yeah.
And without a place to pin on it, without someone, without a specific or tangible, maybe, circumstance to say, look, you owe me.
Right.
You owe me an explanation.
Right. And what's weird about this particular album, usually I try to write them kind of spread out throughout the year. And so that way they're one, spell checked, which is a huge issue. There's a reason everything that you'll hear me do is spoken and not written. But also because it gives me time to kind of filter what I want to say. Letters and Scars, all 16 tracks were written in less than 12 hours.
Wow.
From like midnight till I guess like 4 p.m. the next day.
Wait a minute, so you always up that late then? That basketball story was a ruse.
Oh, you know what? I never said it was a good thing that I was up. Notice how the spell checking gets harder the more that you write and like the later it gets.
Yeah, right.
So I wanted it to be honest and raw, and that's what I wanted a lot of my poetry to be. But even this will be my fourth album, first official release, and all of them have been filtered to some extent. Like, I wanted it to look good, like, all right, you know, you might be a mess or you might have been a mess, but you got it all together now. And the truth is, none of us really do. And I think, at least on my end of things, I tour almost exclusively. Now I have to say almost because I'm with him. On the metal scene. And what metal does is it creates this message that's so blunt and just loud.
Yeah.
And I love that because I could scream at you and you'd be fine. The reason, though, that I appreciate it is because there's no sugarcoating those lyrics. Like, you listen to Fit for a King or Righteous Vendetta, The Protest, or ABR. And everything that they want to say, they just say it. Now, you might not be able to understand it, but they say it.
Right. Now, I'd be in a gorilla costume, but that's just how you're going to take it in.
You know, I swear, those guys make a living sounding like a mix between Darth Vader and the Cookie Monster. You just try to roll with it, you know? So with poetry, like, I started off as this really little kid that would appear with these really big guys that could probably eat me if they wanted to. And I just wanted to create a space where I could be honest with myself. I find it odd that in speaking for a living, you could say, I'm doing nothing but talking to myself and trying to rationalize my existence and the things that have happened and the things that I wish could happen with where I'm at. And that's what my poetry is. And the more that I find my walk with God moves, the more God is integrated into those stories. So another fun fact is each of my poems are stories. That's been my theme since forever in a day. The trick with stories, though, is that there are so many more people involved in them. If you say you were feeling a different way, somebody is going to notice. So you have to be honest with yourself, which means then being honest with anybody who sees it. So the purpose of Letters and Scars is to say, like, you know, for the last couple of years, like, I've been kind of moving around a little more. And I try to look like I've got everything together. I am so lost. And it's the first time that I was comfortable, not able to, but comfortable with being honest with where I was at as both a poet and a writer and a child of God, with anybody else but my guinea pig, who unfortunately has to hear me ranting at 2 a.m. So,
do you keep a guinea pig with you?
I you know what? I wanted to. I feel like it wouldn't have fit in the suitcase this time.
I love guinea pigs.
They're cute, except I've got mine's name is Tux, and he's perfectly white on one side and black on the other, down to different colored eyes. But he also hates me with a passion. So, like, you go and you pick him up.
Those are two very interesting descriptions.
Right, right.
Here's what his color is, and he hates everything about me.
Well, that's just it. Like, I can't get to know him past that. I go to pick him up, and he, like, scurries up my arm and bites the mess out of me. Yeah. So I don't mess with him. He stays in his cage, and he's good. He loves my sister, but Tux... Yeah, no.
Hey, man, I love this antagonistic guinea pig you have.
See, I usually feel bad because my daughter has two guinea pigs, and I'm not nice to them. Like, I'm verbally abusive.
Apparently, Tuck's got the memo.
I walk upstairs, and they say something, and I say, "Shut up, Barry." Like, we're not friends. Because I know what he does. He looks at me, and then he poops in his food bowl, and then goes, "I own you. Clean this up." I don't like the way he lives.
They'll do that. Them and cats.
Yeah.
Cats do the same thing.
Same
cats are just generally off.
Yeah, I have a cat that poops in the guinea pig's food bowl and then says, "Clean that up." They're tough to deal with.
Hey, they got your number, Mike.
Yeah.
All right, so do you want to, Egypt, would you mind sharing one from your upcoming album?
Yeah, absolutely. That's going to require me scooting back a little bit.
Okay, do what you got to do.
Oh, sweet. So one of my favorite tracks off of this whole kind of project thing is called Dear God. And it is... I think that one was written at like 3 a.m. when the caffeine was just starting to leave my system, and suddenly I was left with just me in my room with my t-shirt and shorts, and I'm pretty sure the power was out at that point because we had a huge storm come through.
Hey, just for context, was the guinea pig in there?
Yes, the guinea pig was there.
Okay,
he was not happy about the fact that there was no light, and it was just me and God, And I had just finished this whole like emotional roller coaster of writing and sitting there, and the worst thing you can do with me is let me kind of sit alone, because then you start thinking, and that is always a bad idea. And I found out that among the people I had written letters to, one of them was God. Like, all right, I've got questions, and sometimes I don't get answers. Can we just talk about the things that we used to do? Because I know that sometimes I can be a bit of a pain, and I just want to go back to the way things were when you were my prince. So this one is called Dear God. I actually do this on this tour with Dominic, so it's going to come out a little different. But yes, here it goes. Don't get a cool musical intro, unfortunately.
That wasn't it. Yep.
That was not it. I feel like you're going to be able to feel that glare through the screen here. Dear God. Dear God, I know the excuses to see you, well, they're not really far or few between, but look, I've got a question for you. Like, do you remember when I was little and I used to put as many socks as I possibly could on both of my feet so that way my mother wouldn't notice that you were up with me and we would dance together? You know, like it was just me and you. It was me and your baby girl. It was us against the world. And there was nothing, nothing that could ever separate you from my arms. And we kind of danced across my floor. God, I know that you remember the time when I made you this big old pot of Blue's Clues mac and cheese. Because for some reason, I took my Sunday school teacher literally when she told me that you were going to come and want to eat with me. And I knew at that point I wanted nothing more than to eat with you. You should know that I threw a temper tantrum the time that my mother threw it all away. I bet you weren't proud of that. But just know that the fact is I was waiting for you. God, do you remember that time that I slept in my threshold because the same Sunday school teacher told me that you were going to show up at my door and knock, and I stayed there for 2 days waiting for you, and you never showed up. And you know what? 3-year-old me was mad. That's okay. You know, I grew and I realized that maybe that day I had opened my heart to something more than what I had bargained for, because even though you didn't come walking through that door, you had a home in my heart, dear God. God, I remember that time, the first ever time I looked inside of my mirror and I didn't like what I saw. I saw that my reflection had pimples, and one of them grew just to the left of my nose and made me look like a bit of a lopsided unicorn, and I could have sworn that you did that on purpose, but maybe, maybe you still thought I was worth it to you. Like, it never occurred to me that I might have that freckle beneath my lower left eye, because right when the sun hits it at just the right place and at just the right time, it reflects off of my pupils and you can see through them to the windows of my soul, and you see something that's beautiful. God, you see something that's worth saving. You see something that you have bought with a price, except the problem was I started doing something that adults call maturing. And I'd like to think that I was growing up, but the problem was I started steering towards all of my adventures and my dreams, and I realized very quickly I thought that in my rear view you were waving away from me, but God, what if you were just asking me to come home? Lord, you were asking me to come back and beckoning me back to the only peace that I have ever known. Look, God, you should know that I miss dancing with you. I miss the times when it was just me and you. I miss the times when we would listen to, like, Taylor Swift and Nickelback and Justin Bieber. And I swear I've got my musical taste back on track. Look, God, I'm now listening to the orchestra of your majesty and of your grace. And I want this walk to turn into a race with you. But, God, I want to make more memories with you. God, look. I completely understand if I have done too much to come home, but just know that I finally have realized you are the only peace that I have ever known, so I want to come right back to the start, where you're talking to a little girl who made their feet and their socks a work of art and their mind, and yeah, sure, I might have painted that moment on a couple of walls and called myself Picasso. You were kind of thinking Rembrandt, but that's okay. Just know that I am looking forward to defeating more villains with you and saving more heroes. God, I swear I'll be your princess, and you will always be my king. Lord, I just would really take a liking to the fact if we could make more memories. There you go.
Woo! Woo!
I love that. That's powerful. I mean, it's powerful. It calls you, it certainly calls you back to that, I don't know, that simpler time, right? Like when the cloudiness between that sometimes exists between God and I, and the complication that came from every other place except from God,
mm-hmm.
And it pulls you right back into the reminder of those core things about God that make Him good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That was beautiful. Thank you.
Thanks.
So you said releases in, what'd you say, the 21st?
Yeah, March 21st. So I got to partner with this awesome guy named Chris Townsend, who I met him. He was the photographer for Switchfoot on their last tour. And Chris and I had to come up with this way to, I guess, get visual representation for poetry, because it's really, really hard to advertise something that you can't necessarily make a music video for.
Right.
And he actually came up with the idea to add pictures, like purposeful photography is what I kind of nicknamed it, for each of the tracks. So we've started this 16-day countdown for every single one of the poems that has one of his original pictures and then the story behind the track. And so we posted the first one today, which is Dear Reader, which is the first track on the album. And we'll be going in order up until album release day, which will be on the 21st. So, yeah, I mean, if you want to check out the Egypt Speaks Facebook page, he's an awesome guy and great photographer, and I really love the work that he's doing with this.
Awesome, yeah. You can follow along with that countdown. We'll just go to Facebook and do a search for Egypt Speaks, or look at the stuff that we like, because Life in the Path likes Egypt Speaks. So you can go check that out. You bet. Boy, that's cool. And we're gonna hear more from both of our guests here in just a little bit. But now you've inadvertently wandered into America's fastest growing internet game show.
And now, for America's fastest growing game show, Secular or Solomon?
I will never get over that dude's face.
Here's the deal. You've won it in America's fastest growing internet game show, Asterix Unproven, Secular versus Solomon. Here's the crux of the game. I'm going to give you a proverb, a bit of wisdom, and your job is to identify whether that is a biblical bit of wisdom, we're going to call Solomon, or whether it is a secular bit of wisdom, and if it is secular, I want country of origin. Try not to say the most offensive thing that pops into your mind based upon the bit of wisdom.
All right, so I have a question then. You know, yes. Is Egypt at all a hope for an answer here?
Nice.
Dang, you know, if
that
I had
would
to
be
put,
really awesome.
If I had to put any thought into anything, yes, it would be, but no. No.
So that gives me a chance. And do we get to work in teams?
No, it's
in. I call Dominic if we do.
Individual submission.
No. Oh, we're doomed.
Individual submission. No.
At least I am.
No.
And Andrew's a tiebreaker on all.
Oh, no.
Do we get to argue our case? Like, what you don't get is this is like the tour of the most
competitive
people. Like, we turned air hockey into a contact sport type competitive.
No, she turned it.
I have really good aim.
That was not us.
Okay. All right. Noted. This is going to be a wild one. Boova, be on your guard.
All right.
All right, here we go. Let's see. We're going to start with Mike. Mike, you're going to kick us off.
I'm going to be speaking through this man.
Okay, got it. You're Mike's thrift store priest.
All right, let's go.
All right, here we go. Secular versus secular or Solomon. Coffee should be black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love. Coffee should be black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love. Secular or Solomon, thrift store priest.
Secular.
What? What is it? What?
That?
He doesn't have to
talk. He can't
have
the same voice as me.
Okay, secular.
Continue on.
Do you have a country of origin?
Oh, Ireland.
What?
I feel like his voice is going to change throughout.
All right.
I feel like I might have a chance.
Mike's in.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Now that the thrift store priest is here.
Make it harder.
Mike's in for secular. I'm sorry. Thrift store priest is. I'm going to call you TSP. TSP. He's in for secular Ireland Boova.
I go secular Italy.
Secular. Hey, the Italians like it hefty. Dominic.
I'm going to say secular Madagascar.
Secular.
And I got your coffee.
Hey. Yeah. All right, Andrea.
Oh, no.
Hey, man, you knew it was coming. I thrift store exactly. Priest went.
America.
Solid.
Okay.
Did I say that?
That's a country of origin.
There we go.
It's not right. Guaranteed.
All right, Egypt.
We drink a lot of coffee.
So I'm going to go secular, but she just said America, and there are, like, you know, South America and North America, so I'm going to say U.S. of A.
Ooh. Ooh.
Oh, I had to be more
child
specific.
Of a lawyer.
Sorry.
Yes.
Well, she's wow. covered more of her bases, so she's actually got a better chance now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right, that's what I was going for.
We'll see where distinctions matter. Coffee should be black as hell, strong as death, and sweet as love. Secular Turkey.
I was closest.
That was not close.
I was on the Mediterranean.
Secular Turkey. No, I. You know, no.
Hey, man. No. Same body of water. I call it.
You know, here's the deal. You tell the Turks that's the same country and see what happens.
Yeah, I didn't right. say same country. I said same body of water. Both in the Mediterranean.
Mike?
Malarkey.
No.
Come on, TSP. All right.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon. Buva, a man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. Secular or Solomon?
Solomon, Proverbs 14.
Buva's in with Proverbs 14. It's not necessary to guess the chapter, but Buva's self-righteous behavior causes him to do that. Dominic?
I'm real glad he went first, because no, Solomon.
He's in for Solomon. Andrea?
Yeah, Solomon.
Solomon, yeah. Egypt.
You're like a copycat. Solomon?
Solomon, bandwagon. Mike, secular.
TSP cares nothing about points.
Oh, I'm sorry, country?
Country of origin again?
Botswana.
Botswana.
That's making me sick. All right. secular Solomon, a man who's kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 11.
Oh, you're pride, so close.
Pride cometh before the fall, I know, Proverbs 14.
I know.
Seems fitting with the amount of confidence he used for that, too.
Here we go. Secular or Solomon, Dominic, let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. Secular or Solomon? Dominic.
I'm going to go with Solomon.
He's in with Solomon. Andrea.
Oh, my gosh. Secular?
Yeah.
Country
I mean,
of origin?
There weren't even bears in biblical times. Ridiculous.
Don't let him talk to you. What's your country of origin?
I like how nervous this seems to make you.
I don't know. Scotland?
Did you get that from Brave?
No.
Because there were she-bears?
Murder.
If you could change your fate, would you?
Pretty spot on.
I don't know.
All right. Okay, secular Disney cartoon Scotland. Egypt.
I'm going to go with Solomon.
Solomon. Mike. Sorry, TSB.
Solomon.
I'm sorry, so when you have confidence, you use your own voice?
I don't want to make you sick no more.
Hey.
I love people.
All right. Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 17.
Oh, I know I'm wrong now. I know.
No, he wasn't right before, remember?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
No, he was a couple verses.
Solomon does not say the word she-bear.
Yes, he does.
Let a man meet a she-bear robbed of her cubs rather than a fool in his folly. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 17.
Yes! Oh! Game over.
Move left.
Quick, ask the next question. Let's go.
This is actually the first anniversary of the time he was right last year. So,
one time.
Here we go. Secular.
Hey, wait a minute. What isn't there a proper name for a she bear?
She bear.
What does a she bear look like?
A she bear.
A bear.
That's a she.
I don't know if there's any gender distinction.
I know that this is internet radio, but I feel like I want to stay away from the technical distinctions here.
You're just gonna go with the verbiage that Solomon decided to
rightful
use.
Rightful scientists can tell the difference. It's obvious in a number of ways. I hear it's a mammal thing.
Is it called like a mare and a colt? Colt bear?
Well, that's a horse.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Isn't there bear type distinctions?
I'm pretty sure you were reading too much into this.
I'll take care of this.
I think she-bear's right. I think Solomon got a lot of wisdom from God.
It's called an Eliza. That's what they call a she-bear.
Yeah, okay.
If it's not, it has to be that now. All right,
here we go. Secular or
Solomon?
What am
I going to type in? What is the she-bear? I don't even know what to write.
I don't want you to type that in any kind of Google or search engine.
Say, what is an Eliza?
Right. Don't do that either.
All right, secular or Solomon? Andrea, you're up. Bald people can always find a comb.
Oh, my God.
Bald people can always find a comb.
Can always find a comb. Ironic. Okay, I'm going to say that is secular.
Okay, secular.
And I don't know where that's from, so can I pass on the place?
You cannot.
I have to say a place?
You have to come up with a country.
I have to come up with a country.
There's many of them.
Norway?
There you go.
There you go. Great.
Right, no, couldn't possibly be more offensive to the bald people in Norway.
I'm sorry, Norway.
Way to go, Andrea. Egypt. Bald people can always find a comb. Secular Solomon.
You see, the only thing that's running through my head right now is where is my hairbrush? From VeggieTales?
Yes.
Is my hairbrush.
I just, it confuses me that the cucumber who doesn't have arms is more concerned that he doesn't have a hairbrush. But on the subject of bald people needing combs, I'm going to say that's secular, and I'm also going to say that's from Canada.
No apologies for the bald in Canada.
Not at all.
Mike.
TSP.
Secular.
Country.
Iran.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense, Mike. They wear head coverings. You wouldn't even know the difference.
That's what I'm saying. That's why it's such a to-do.
You try to sell a comb in Iran, you got trouble.
Hey, hang on a minute. Just a second why I got the platform here. A female bear is called a sow, and a male bear is a boar.
Really?
Yeah.
A boar?
A group of bears together is called a sloth.
A sloth.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah.
A group of pugs is called a grumble. Sorry. My answer for this is secular. And
hey,
I'm going to go...
Hey, Egypt is going to punch you in the face if you say that again.
She hates that.
A grumble of puck? I'm sorry. Secular, and I say Nepal.
Secular Nepal. Dominic?
My mom's side is all Italian, and they're all bald. So it seems like a proper location. So I'm going to go with Italy, secular.
Hey, man, he's brought wisdom to this conversation.
Yeah. Here's
you
the deal.
Mayors
Italians like stark black coffee, and they don't need no comb.
Yeah.
They don't need no comb. Bald people can always find a comb. It is secular Thailand.
Thailand.
Oh!
Closest.
Wait.
What did you say?
Nepal is near Thailand.
I don't think that counts.
No, I agree. That does not count.
I'm going to claw at every point I can get.
Wait, I forgot to be keeping
score. If you take in the cosmos, it's pretty close.
Call me a boar.
Close, but no internet cigar.
I'm sorry. I kind of screwed this up.
He's
how many points
do
you
1,000 points.
Well, I got the only Solomon one. Like, no one's gotten a secular one yet.
Okay, that's one. Andrea. How many points do you have?
Well, I lost 1 point, and you guys all had one, so what do we got, like, two?
Okay, no points for you.
Oh, no points for you. I'm absolutely
I like the scoring system. Like
all of them. I've got all the points.
Okay. No, you don't.
Negative 1,000.
All. Okay. Buva?
Negative 1,000.
Yeah. About right.
He's that confident. He's going to come out of the hole.
Okay, we're good.
I'm sorry. Are you splitting a scoring system with TSP, or are you on your...
Yeah, TSP is, I'll just draw like a king symbol and a thumbs up. Okay, I got
He's
it.
He's eternally doing
that's
great.
That's optimism.
Yeah.
TSP.
All right, secular versus Solomon. Let's see here. The earth does not shake when the flea coughs. The earth does not shake when the flea coughs. Secular or Solomon, Egypt.
Well then, I'm going to go Solomon.
Solomon, Mike and or TSP, the earth does not shake when the flea coughs.
Hold on, we got to confer. Yeah, secular and England.
Secular and the England.
Yeah, proper.
Just regular England.
I'm going to go secular Lithuania.
Oh, boy, Bova.
Oh, man, you went secular, I'm doomed.
Secular and,
well, based on our visit that we saw on the way here, I'm going to go with secular India.
Secular India. Yeah. India, the earth does not shake when the flea coughs. Andrea.
Secular Japan.
Secular Japan. You seem more confident in this one.
Yeah.
She went last is what happened.
I know, yeah.
I'm just going to give
Thank
you a point
you,
right
everyone.
Now.
Yeah.
Just for the confidence booster.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. That's good, Mike. The earth does not shake when the flea coughs. It is indeed secular Austria.
Oh, wow.
Austria.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it at all. Me and TSP were lost.
It's tough to hear when the flea coughs because the hills are alive with the sound of music.
Or they have eyes.
They
too.
Have eyes. All right, here we go. Secular versus Solomon. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out.
Top in.
Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but the drunk... Excuse me. But he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. Secular or Solomon. Mike, TSP.
Solomon.
Booba.
Solomon, Proverbs 12.
Proverbs 12. Dominic.
Solomon.
He's in for Solomon. Andrea.
Solomon.
Solomon, Egypt.
Yep. Solomon.
Solomon, across the board, whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but he who makes his ways crooked will be found out. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10.
Close again.
Yeah, I feel like everybody did good there. Hey, only Buva lost points on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, Buva right. didn't get the chapter right.
Pretty I good. Didn't.
Yeah.
You're right.
Negative 60.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ben.
So I'm at negative 1,060 right now?
No, I added 50 just for general. Negative 50 just because you were here.
Hey, he also rudely got up. You remember that?
Yeah.
Remember, it was a, that was
another negative 100 right
yeah,
there.
That's, yeah, that yeah, boastful, like, what was the King Jerry Lawler from the WWF action you did?
Yeah.
What did you I mean, just
and
say?
That's too, that's for
Is that a reference that the majority of people wouldn't have gotten?
I don't know.
Yeah, I caught it.
I grew up on television.
Jared Lawler? Whatever.
My parents were very rarely involved.
All right,
involved.
Cool beans.
And that's an offense for each guest in the room that Booba was against.
Were you making fun of me in Egypt? That's 200 points in the hole.
Oh, got it. Okay.
I like the way the system works.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Yes. I normally end up at least a negative 1,000.
Yeah. A group of Boobas is called a wrong.
Hey, man, you see that wrong of Boobas running over there? Hey, man, I'm totally okay with that. That's awesome.
Let's see. Here we go. Secular Solomon. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast. But the mercy of the wicked is cruel. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. Secular or Solomon? Dominic.
I'm going with Solomon. Solomon. I'm locking it in.
He hears beast,
is
he
that
says.
That's your final answer.
That's got to be Solomon. Andrea.
Say it again.
Okay, whoever no, is yes. righteous has regard. You know what I like? Is Dominic's confidence is not enough for Andrew to get on board. I'm going to have to hear this myself. That deep voice, Dominic, I've heard that before. I can wait to pee for another 2 hours.
Oh, my gosh. That's so true.
I don't think so. 20 minutes.
His eyes are yellow. His eyes are yellow.
Loading. Quick stop on a steno pad 20 minutes away. All right, whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel.
Solomon?
Solomon with a wink. That was the coolest thing that's ever happened to me.
The coolest thing that has ever happened to me.
The internet is not ready. Egypt.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to take Solomon for 500 there, Alex.
Solomon, she's putting cash money points. On the table.
Secular. Yeah, Turkey again.
Hey, the Turk's man a camel. Yeah. Booba. Hey, is that stereotypical? Do the Turks not use camels anymore? Is that the wrong thing to say?
No, they still do.
It's understandable to say.
Here's the deal. We're worldwide. I don't want trouble.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
The internet goes everywhere.
Yeah. I've seen a camel in Turkey.
You've been to Turkey?
No. I've seen them on, like,
that's
shows
total,
and
that's
stuff.
Total disrespect for
Boob
the
has told lies in every continent.
Absolutely. Every continent. All seven. I went to Antarctica and talked to nobody.
That's true. If BBC America is to be trusted.
I have really small feet on Antarctica. I was lying. I'm going to go Solomon and Proverbs 19.
Proverbs 19. Whoever, was that to get everybody? Proverbs, yeah. Okay, the low voice wing 500. Got it. Okay. Whoever is righteous has regard for the life of his beast, but the mercy of the wicked is cruel. It is indeed Solomon, Proverbs 12.
So I'm just saying, because I laid 500 on that, I think that my return should be tripled.
Well, I mean, triple might be a bit aggressive.
Five,
what about double?
Well, you know, the point of this game isn't so much to win overall, it's just to beat him, and I'd be happy with that.
Okay, I'll just write, beats Dominic.
Yes, that's all I need.
There.
It's locked in. That's marked.
Because I legit can't give you three times the points just because you said so. I feel like that's not fair.
Hey, can you spot her 20 for boldness? Because, I mean, that's wild.
Okay, beats Dominic plus 20.
And she could have winked. I just can't see it because there's a monitor here.
Yeah.
I might have winked. We don't know.
Into infinity plus two.
For a good measure.
There, a little bit of these, a little bit of these.
All right, here we go. Secular or Solomon. Where am I at here? Who did I leave out? Andrew, you next?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. If there were no elephant in the jungle, the buffalo would be a great animal. If there were no elephant in the jungle, the buffalo would be a great animal. Secular or Solomon?
That is secular. And,
Who prefers the buffalo? What people
would say if only we could do away with that elephant, we could elevate the buffalo that I wish. Yeah, name a people.
I don't know, Brazil. That's so not right.
Brazil people.
It's like 100% not right.
I caught that from the summer games actually.
Yeah,
every once in a while there was a guy that was streaking at the soccer and he had a buffalo on his chest.
Sure,
and then a cancel
hair.
Sign over an elephant.
Or he was a very, that's true, he could be a very confident and hairy Brazilian. That wax thing they tell about is undersold. He didn't, that's not what he does.
Man. I never read anything like that, man.
Yes, sir.
What magazines are you subscribing to?
I don't answer that.
I don't get those channels. Egypt. If there were no elephant, if there were no elephant in the jungle, the buffalo would be a great animal.
I'm going to say secular in India.
Secular India.
That's a way better answer than mine.
I was going to answer India.
No. I immediately regret Brazil.
I already regretted it when I said it, so.
Mike.
Secular and Borneo.
Oh, secular Borneo. That's a cartoon country. That only exists in the X-Men universe.
Why am I so dumb? I've always been dumb.
It only exists in the X-Men universe? Was there an X-Men, like, vacation retreat to Borneo? I've read a lot of them. I don't remember that one.
I'm not sure. Go ahead, move on.
All right, I'm going to go secular Pakistan.
Secular Pakistan.
Also a good answer.
Sofra has never brings up a bison.
No, probably not. I was going to go India, so I'm just going the top of India.
You couldn't even join it. You can join in.
Click. All right, fine. I'm doubling up on secular India.
Okay, all right. You've pamphleted this answer when you could have had a community. That's true. Not how the gospel spreads.
Oh, my apologies.
Dominic.
I'd like to buy a vial.
T.
All right, good. So then I'm going to go with...
Hey, always sell a vowel to a man that doesn't know the difference.
So he gave me a constant.
I want one of the constants.
I can't even say it.
I left my trench coat and Rolexes in the basement. Who loves a bison?
So I'm going to go with secular and Nigeria. But fun fact, if you go to Buffalo, New York, there are no buffalo. They actually just have statues there. You have to go to Nashville, Tennessee to see real buffalo. Makes no sense at all.
Really?
Yeah, really.
We have some like 10 miles that way.
Okay, so anywhere but buffalo has buffalo. What is wrong with the country?
It's so sad.
They're on the helmet.
Where?
Oh, the bills.
Yeah.
Okay, so they're on a helmet, but there's no actual...
There's no real buffalo.
No. I mean,
although, actually, do we have Hawkeyes here? I know we have cyclones. I saw one today.
I don't know about that.
To be fair, my layover in Buffalo on the way to get to the store, they were talking about they had seen a buffalo or a herd thereof. I don't know what the plural of buffalo
There's
would
a
be.
Pun, a herd. Got it.
There you go. They had seen buffalo, like, before I got there, out in front of the train station. So, there are indeed buffalo in New York. I just don't know where.
Well, actually,
they took the train from Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, based on what I know about Buffalo, New York, I would just assume they have a ton of them, and that's where they have engrafted them into their society. And you're saying that's not the case?
No, I have never seen a buffalo.
I've never seen a
You've
buffalo.
You've obviously
in
never
buffalo,
looked.
New York.
Entire city's
never.
A lie.
No, I never want to go to Buffalo.
Statues of Buffalo.
That was the only reason
no
I wanted
buffalo.
To go.
Yeah.
I had that on my list of things to see. Was the buffalo in Buffalo.
Nah,
and now it's completely gone.
Go to Nashville.
Here's the deal. It became too commercial. They split. They said, we're being monopolized here.
Yeah. Or, you know, all the buffalo went to
You can't
dad.
Capitalize yeah. on our species.
Yeah. Larry promised everybody a water buffalo, so that might be what happened to all of them. I don't know how much strength VeggieTales holds over anything. But
I mean, they should change the name to Water Buffalo
Wait,
New York.
Did you check the water, Dominic?
He just makes a solid point, did you?
he's in your tub.
It's broken.
All right. You're not going to get this. If there were no elephant in the jungle, the buffalo would be a great animal. Secular Ghana.
Ghana.
See what
Ghana.
I did there? You're
oh,
not
really?
Gonna get this.
Is Borneo really a false country?
I'm not sure.
It's a real place.
I think it's real.
All right, somebody Google it.
Was it in the Animaniacs song?
Yes.
The Animaniacs.
Animaniacs.
Something to Borneo.
What is that?
The Animaniacs was like an older cartoon with the Warner Brothers and their sister Dot.
Did you see him do the countries of the world?
India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, Bangladesh, Asia, China, Korea, Japan. All right, enough. Borneo, yes, it's in there. Okay, yeah, it's a real country.
Wow. All right. Well, okay. Cool.
That was awesome.
Did you know that was a thing?
Best moment ever.
Yeah.
No parents. I'm telling you. Watch TV all the time.
Learn about geography.
I tried to do it with my kids, and all of a sudden it's illegal.
We were raised on the Animaniacs and Rue McClanahan, and that's it. That's the extent of my, anyway, they weren't really golden. Secular Solomon, where am I at here?
Egypt.
All right, Egypt, you're up.
Whatever it is, I didn't do it.
Okay, the greatest love is a mother's, then a dog's, then a sweetheart's.
Oh, that's secular.
The greatest love is a mother's, then a dog's, then a sweetheart's. Secular, okay. Country?
America. Like, the USA. Like, specifically the United States of America.
This seems like our priorities. Mike?
Secular. France.
Oh. Why did you make that noise?
I was.
Is that a Frenchman?
Yeah.
Why does he sound like that?
In general, I'm not good with people. Just in general.
No, he's telling a very true story right now.
Yeah. All right, wrong Abuvas. Greatest love is a mother's, then a dog's, then a sweetheart's.
I'm gonna go for community. Secular France.
Secular France, doubling in, Dominic.
No, I'm going with secular Australia.
Secular. Now that's a cruel thing.
Well, I mean, they got the dingoes.
That is a cruel thing. They would have said dingoes. Don't like that's you. What they meant.
Well, I understand, but they'd lose their babies.
They didn't say anything about an outback. They didn't say
Here's
anything.
The thing. If you get this wrong, you have to turn your chair around.
Hey, man, you're messed up if you think the Australians can't go a sentence without saying the outback.
They didn't say here's the deal.
You know they can say other things,
too. I didn't hear didgeridoo. I didn't hear shrimp on the barbie.
I mean, come from a land down under.
You put no effort into this at all. That's what I'm saying. Unbelievable. You think a man could pick up a stereotype. All right. Andrea, if there were... the greatest love is a mother's, then a dog's, then a sweetheart's.
I'm going to say secular Germany.
Secular Germany. Is that... Now, hold on. What are we getting at here? The greatest love, the mom loves you, and then the dog loves you, but the sweetheart does not love you.
We don't believe in that worldview, Ben.
This is America.
I'm just imagining Solomon sitting there with a dog, just like, I love you more than I love my sweetheart. So do you right back myself. At me.
Yeah. The greatest love is a bison who will not be commercialized. all right, here, sorry. The greatest love is a mother's, then a dog's, then a sweetheart's. It is secular Poland.
Poland.
Secular Poland. Did you just try to say that like directly after to make it sound like this, what you had?
No.
Secular Poland.
Nailed it.
Like, really?
Nailed it.
I was really hoping for Germany, but I looked at your face and it was like, nah, you're wrong.
No. That's not the face of Germany at all.
Yeah. No, it's not.
I didn't hear schnitzel, and I didn't. That was it. That was it. That was America's fastest growing internet game show, simply because I'm unaware of any other internet game programs. And Mike, what's the final tally?
Okay, Egypt had beats Dominic plus 20.
Yes.
Andrea had 2. I'm not sure how she got 2 points.
Hey, that's a positive. Yeah. You ended up in the black.
Dominic had all the points. Booba was a negative 13-20. Yep. And... the thrift store priest won with a crown and a thumbs up.
There we go.
Dang, he's tough.
Yeah,
man. TSP brings it in again.
This is the 6th time in a row. He's
seriously. He's a world champ.
Actually, this is the first week I've seen him in probably 3 months without a Totino's pizza roll sitting on his Bible.
I was hoping somebody ate that pizza roll. Hey, man, don't look at me. It was not me. You looked me directly in the face when you said someone ate that Totino's pizza roll.
I'm just saying, you noticed that it was gone.
That's because I thought it was gross the whole time.
Where did this go into my mouth?
Oh, TSP, you ain't going to eat that.
Wait a second, you just wait.
Yeah. Hey, don't wink at me when telling me I'm eating food I shouldn't be eating.
This pizza roll's gone the way of the buffalo.
Newly named Water Buffalo, New York.
It moved to Albany, where no one thinks there's a capital.
Exactly.
All right. Anyway, hey, you want to catch out, you can get copies of this. You want to relive these moments, you can certainly do so at lifeinthepath.org. Otherwise, you can catch past episodes of Secular versus Solomon with the various amount of guests that have been on.
Yeah.
Wait, we need to grab Timmons. Let's see if we can get Timmons on a Secular Solomon.
Yeah, okay.
All right, see what we can do. All right, so anyway, you can go just search for Secular Solomon at lifeinthepath.org. You can watch past clips of that. There's a couple other games out there.
The End of the World as We Know It games.
Yeah.
Deuteronomy Dan.
Can you recognize everybody that's ever falsely predicted the return of Jesus? Why don't you just give that up and, you know, hug a man? Maybe we could be more productive with ourselves. Things of this nature. So go out and check that out at lifeofthepath.org. You can also catch past clips of musical performances as such from the show, including from Dominic the last time he was in studio. And we'll get to what Egypt and Dominic and Andrea are doing tonight. We'll get that up for your listening enjoyment. If you go there and there's a way to donate money, that is not that's not our place.
No.
If this is a low-rent affair and we don't need your money messing the place up.
That's
right.
As soon as it becomes high-rent, then we're accountable to somebody.
Yeah, exactly right. Buy some bologna, give it to a homeless man. You got better stuff to do than send that stuff our way. All right. So speaking of quality items, let's pick back up on stuff from the new Driven 11 EP. Tell me a little bit about the song Left Field.
All right. So Left Field is the title track. Hooray. Yeah. When I moved down to Nashville, everyone said I was crazy. And when I moved back to New York, people still said I was crazy. So nothing's really changed there.
Right on.
When we went down there, my boys really wanted to play baseball. And we love sports in our house, but we don't really watch sports or know much about them. We just go out and play them however we decide we're going to play them. So when my boys said they wanted to play baseball, I said, yeah, sure, we could do that. We got them a mitt, got them a bat, and we got them on a team, and away we go. So the coach and I were like, hey, go get an outfield. And with all kinds of enthusiasm, they run out there, and they're excited. And then, sure enough, they start walking back. And I'm like, what's wrong, buddy? And they look back at me, and they go, where's outfield? All I could do was just take a knee and go, I have failed you as a father. So we finally get them out there, and they have no idea what they're doing. They're just kind of playing in the grass and doing spins out there. The same stuff that I did when I played baseball.
Right, well, I knew where outfield was, and I still did it.
I still do it playing in Church League. So I think that's how they figured out that's what they were supposed to do. But eventually they started making some plays in the game that made a difference, and then they started being even more excited about that. They were a part of it. They were a part of the team, and now they were ready. They knew where they were supposed to be in that field. And when I was watching, I was like, man, that's a lot like my walk when I started Driven 11 and started moving down there. A lot of people said I was, you know, kind of out there with what I was doing, changing from what I was doing. But I was still diligent. I was excited, but had absolutely no idea what I was doing. Yes, my wife, she'll still say I have no idea what I'm doing. But as I kept on pursuing it, it made more sense. God kept on saying, no, I want you there. I have you for a mission to inspire faith and action, to help people shepherd those everyday moments and to show people it's where they're at that matters. So I ended up writing this song because I feel as Christians, we become new believers, we have no idea what we're doing. We're just excited to be on his team. Sometimes we get a little burnt out because we don't know what to do. But if we just be diligent, be patient, eventually he opens up those doors and it makes sense.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, so you're listening to Live from the Path. This is Left Field, and take it away.
Now here's the thing. Last time you guys participated, so I'm going to give you your part.
Yeah,
you ready?
Okay,
it goes like this.
Oh, man.
Give it a try. It's going to be all right.
Yeah, it is.
That was really good.
Do I just get to do whatever I want?
Do whatever you want, but there is a spot for it.
Okay. And are you going to wink? Or like, how are we going to know?
She's going to help you out.
Okay, got it. Okay, ready.
Way out in the field, favoring the left side. This is where I'm supposed to be. It's what he said tonight. And I know this time that I've got my eyes closed so tight. Raise my hand, raise it high. I wanna catch what's falling. And I hear you calling. Son, open up your eyes, it's alright. There you go. It hits me in the hand. Feel it on the inside. This is where I'm supposed to be. Live on the path tonight. Live from the path. And now I know this time. So I've got my eyes open wide. Raise my hand and raise it high. I wanna catch what's falling. And I hear you calling. Son, open up your eyes, it's alright. Here we go. Tonight. Wait, you didn't like the little Maroon 5 in there?
I was going to do it too. But it looked at me like, don't do it.
Raise our hands, raise them high. I want to catch what's falling. And I hear you calling. Son, open up your eyes, it's all right. Ooh,
over there?
Nothing.
Something wonderful happened over here, right? And then Mike went, hey, man, I can get out on that train. That sounds good. I'm the right guy for this. I'm totally cool with parroting back what shouldn't be parroted back.
I thought our part was over, and then he did something funky. I'm like, I'm in. And then Booba's eyes got real scared for the room. Like, don't do that. That's a huge mistake. But I had already started.
We are good as long as we are accompanied by other people, but on our own, we do not pull that off well.
I mean, yeah.
Whoops. That was left field. You can pick that up. Here's what I was thinking is we're going through Market Church, and one of the things that keeps showing up over and over again is that people wrongly describe parables as simple stories. Like they peel like an onion, and they get deeper every time you go back in there. And like that's exactly what I thought of when you were talking about kind of the gist of this song. Right? Is the way that Scripture does parables for you is like for the people that want to hear, they get it and they get it more. For the people who don't want it, they're not going to get it. But like wherever God meets you, exactly where you're at, and every time that you're willing to come back and say, hey, can you help me understand? Hey, can I get a little bit more? And stay the course. That wisdom from Jesus continues to deepen and fit different circumstances and fit different situations. And it's amazing how people can approach Scripture and get so many different and deeper and more things out of those simply because you were willing to go back to God and say, hey, can I have it? Can I have a little bit more? It's what a good teacher does. It's what a good lesson does. And like that's what was in my mind when you were talking about that, because like it's that same experience. It says you're excited to be on God's team, whatever he's going on. And then like really the way to keep from getting burned out and the way to actually continue to grow deeper in what those things are doing and to be, you know, even cradled by it is just to keep falling back to Jesus and be like, hey, can I have a little bit more? And the answer is always yes. Of course you can have more. Because like he didn't give up on those duller group of disciples that was following around. Yeah. They always needed more. And he's like, yeah, okay, I can do that. And anyway, I love that. I love that. That was what was going on in my mind during that tune. You can pick that up. It's available where all legit music is sold. You can also get it on the website. And make sure you hook up with whatever's going on with Driven 11 on the social media, right?
Absolutely.
The Twitters and the Facebooks and that stuff. That way you know where the folks are going to be at. You can get part of the other stuff that's going on, like the 30-day – I'm going to get it wrong – the 30-day Faith in Action Challenge. So like when you're out and about, is that something you still encourage people to kind of jump in on?
Oh yeah, it's part of each event is once again inspiring faith in action, and the first piece of that is going to God first, that we have to pray and seek his will. So if we get in Scripture and we pray and pray properly, things start to change. And what's been really neat is a lot of the notes that I've gotten back about this, because it has absolutely nothing to do with me, it has to do with their relationship.
Right.
So one of the things that's on that is praying for those that you feel have offended you, but do it for 15 minutes, not the all right, I hope they're okay and that they're healthy. But then when you pray for a little bit longer, you start to realize, wait, they just lost their mom. You start thinking about them more.
Right.
You start thinking about their situation. And then you start praying deeper for that person. So it's one of those ways to just be purposeful in your prayer so that when you're done with that, you can actually say, I can make a difference in their life. I understand why they might be cranky. I understand why they might be upset, and how can I help them?
Right.
But when we just do those blasé prayers of, yay, yubba-dub-dub, thanks for the grub, and moving on, it doesn't really hit home and there's no movement. So
right.
If we get back into our prayer life, first and foremost, seeking him in everything, he moves and he'll open your eyes to those different things he wants you to move in.
Right on. Right on. Yeah, yeah. So make sure you hook up with all that, with all the social media stuff so you can catch what's going on and be able to share in the stuff that God is doing through other people. Here's the thing, guys, is like God uses what he's doing in other people to otherwise provide encouragement to you. So like the more that you can be involved with the various communities of people that God has around you, be it people that you're around all the time, be it people – like we are extremely blessed on this show that people can – God just has people doing cool stuff all over the place for the growth of his kingdom, for his glory and joy, and for peace and hope in the world. And we get all kinds of folks to get to come in here and get to share what God has been up to, and we get to celebrate that with them. And that's a real blessing to us. And so like social media has it's got some risks to it, guys. We've talked about some of that stuff on the show, but like one of the things it can do is it makes communities where you feel like there might not have been one, and you get the ability to take part in conversations and to see the things that God is doing and to celebrate what your brothers and sisters are about in the kingdom, to be able to share what you're doing. And so, like, that's why we encourage you to when folks come into the show, like Driven 11 or like Egypt, is you get to follow and see what cool things God is up to and celebrate in that, because that's going on in your family and your family's getting bigger. And so make sure you do that and support them in any way you can, and make sure you hook up with the social media credentials to be part of that. And it's a blessing to you. And you know I'm always hesitant to be like, it will be a blessing to you, because the general Christian thing to do is say whatever you're selling and say,
I wrote a book, it'll be a blessing to you.
It will bless you.
Yeah. I got a CD, it'll be a blessing to you.
It'll be a blessing to you. Okay, great, excellent. So one of the things that we were talking about before the show started, and I think we did ask you this, Dominic, the last time you were here, about, like, why do you do what you do? And so now I'm not remembering right. So I'm going to put you on the spot to answer that question, and then Egypt is on deck. So if you stink, she's going to clean it up, because I feel like she's got a stellar answer.
Yeah. I got this.
Oh, yeah. Her answer's much better. You really should have started with her. But, of course, I don't want to follow it either, so this is good. Really, the whole mission of Driven 11 is to inspire faith in action. It doesn't matter what president is in place, who's in Congress, none of that. Real change and real impact in the kingdom happens in our daily lives. And I'm not talking – I mean, yes, handing someone a sandwich is good, but I'm talking about investing in the relationships that are within your realm of influence. Many people just don't feel like they can make an impact. They just think they're just their small piece makes no difference, when the reality is it's those little moments every day that God has given us. And he tells us that when you're a shepherd of small things, he'll grow them to bigger things. And I've seen that when we focus on those small things, other opportunities open up that we didn't even think were possible. The doors start to open up,
right,
and you have more opportunities to shepherd to people, but it starts with the everyday. And that's my heart, is to see people putting their faith in action in their everyday lives.
Speaking my language, brother. Speaking my language. We were just talking about this. Mark 6? We're talking about the Gerasene or the Gadarene demoniac. And like, this guy's messed up, right? He lives with the dead.
He's bare naked, Ben.
He's buck wild naked.
They can't chain him up.
That's right. He can't be contained. He's harming himself. I mean, like, he's the most destructive dude you ever come across. He finds himself at the feet of Jesus, all right? He's demon-possessed, right? Jesus casts out the demons. Guy's in his right mind, wants to go with Jesus. Jesus goes, nah, you're going to stay. You're going to stay here. Jesus comes back in Mark, it's a chapter and a half later. He comes back to the Decapolis, these 10 cities, and Jesus told this guy to stay and say, hey, I need you to tell your friends. Tell your friends what happened. Okay? Jesus comes back to the Decapolis, and immediately you have this crowd of people who's saying, hey, will you heal? Now, here's how they know Jesus healed. Because that guy told his friends.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And 10 cities that otherwise didn't have Jesus have Jesus.
Yeah.
Because a man stayed.
10 Gentile cities.
10 Gentile cities, right? Right. The nations are out, and this guy has changed the fate. Jesus has used this man to change the fate of these 10 cities simply because he was willing to follow Jesus and to take people along with him. And it wasn't, he didn't say, hey, get a crowd. He didn't say, print a book. He didn't say, grab a banner. And it's not that any of those things can't be effective, right? But like, Jesus' instruction to this guy was, your life has been changed. Go show your friends. Your life has been changed. Go show your friends. And now you got 10 cities that are turning around saying, who's this Jesus guy? He heals folks? I want him. I want to know. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's where we feel like we can't we're still here to change the world, because Jesus' message still does that. Jesus just simply took the work and said, I'm going to show you how it's done. Now you go do. And so, you know, for us to look at, we should be able to wake up every morning and say, like, the world still changes with the good news of Jesus Christ. People still need good news. We have it, and we should be relentless and gracious in our pursuit to pass it out to people. And, like, that doesn't require that I completely alter my circumstance. We are faithful in the means, and our means are whoever I ran into that day, whoever my relationships are. And I don't mean – and I agree. It's not a passive thing, right? Like, it is not just we're not chucking seeds indiscriminately. Like, there are people in my life that I run into all the time where I'm there. That's what I'm there for. And everybody has that. And frankly, if we ever tighten up on their job, homie, I feel like we got this thing.
Yeah, no doubt.
We're always the Western Church especially is very plotting. Like, how do we figure out the best way to reach people the way the world reaches people? Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. Jesus reaches people however he darn well pleases. And the way that he pleases generally seems to be you just interact with people that you do. And you go about your business and make your business my business. And then my business gets done. And I love that. And I love that. And I think that that puts us in the right realm of recognizing that the world still changes and we're still part of that. And you don't have to be like whatever you think the barrier is from you being part of changing the world with the good news of Jesus Christ. Just know that he has empowered you with the ability to do that because he has presented you the good news and a Holy Spirit to discern when it goes out. And as long as you live that faithfully, good news will spread. Things that stuff will happen. The early church grew not because they were successful marketers. It's because they were faithful. And that was it. That was it. So I love it. I love it. So excellent. Thank you. Egypt. Okay, so now that turned out pretty good, though. That turned out pretty good.
You're only saying that because you spoke for the latter half of it.
I know. I know.
Shameless plug right
don't
there.
Mind, change your ways, Ben.
Don't mind if I do. Egypt, why do you do what you do?
Yeah, so, I, you know what? There are moments when I open my mouth to say something, and I make it sound like I'm super old, and I'm not. So when I say I was younger, when I was younger or a kid, I mean like probably like 2 weeks ago.
Sure.
When I was little, I remember like having a whole bunch of issues that I didn't realize were issues until I was old enough where they started leaving marks, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
I got bullied a lot for everything, from the way that I looked to the way that I talked to the way that I dressed to what my mother does for a living to anything, from faith to whatever they felt like that day. And I remember that and a couple of other things just led to a feeling of worthlessness from, like, as far back as I can remember to as early as maybe, like, a year or so ago. And I remember, like, beating myself up and trying to become worth it to somebody. So, for example, I play 23 instruments. And I say that. Hi. I say that to do exactly what he just did.
When I am impressed.
So when I started learning them, like, that was the idea. Like, I wanted a fact about me that people would like or would find cool. Simply because there were a lot of people that I felt like I had disappointed by just not being good enough. So the fact, like, I play 23 instruments. If I can say that to you and you're like, oh my goodness, like, that's awesome. Like, I feel like I'm accepted and have done something, like, finally done something right. And it took a very long time to realize, like, okay, that's cool, but you're not necessarily what you do. And there are some people that like you for you, which, surprise, is an astonishing fact. Like, it took me a very long time to find out that I might be a likable person. And moreover, that apart from likable, like, other people may love you just like a parent would or a brother or a sister. And, oh, by the way, they're not trying to hurt you. That took forever. Right. Like, there wasn't anybody to explain it. And there wasn't any real feeling that you could compare to it. It was just, it was odd. So the turning point for me was I met this band. These guys are hilarious. Like, I've always described them as the uncles that show up to the family reunion, crash the whole thing, probably blow up the watermelon, and then, like, tell you they're proud of you and then leave for a year. So I met this band for the first time, and that's what they acted like. But this was to everybody. And I don't know if they could tell something was up or what, but they loved on me. Like, nobody has ever done, and I didn't get it. And I remember I went home and I had the CD and the t-shirt and just, you know, went completely crazy over this group and got confused about why. Like, what about me is likable? Like, what did I do? Because I need to continue doing it if I want someone to at least value my existence. And that's what I was looking for. Just, hey, it's okay that you're breathing. Like, I'm fine with that. He's fine with that. She's fine with that. We're okay. And you're okay. And so poetry, a lot of it, if I'm being honest, poetry was just a way to have a captive audience. Because if, you know, if someone says, hey, you know, we're going to have someone come and speak for church or youth group or whatever, generally that's implied that you stay to hear it.
Right.
And you have to listen to me. But then as I grew up, I found out that, like, hey, that's true, but there are some people that'll listen to you anyway. And so through the healing process that kind of went through that, through meeting this band and then through getting to play and perform or what have you, I finally gained back some of that security and some of that, like, you're not a waste of space type moment. Which, for a lot of people, is like, oh, yeah, you know, that's good. It took, like, 2 weeks. It took years. And it's still an ongoing process, but at the same time, it's not as hard as it used to be. So the reason I do what I do is now knowing what I do about where I've come from and the stuff that I thought of, the things that I wanted to do and thankfully didn't, I know that there are other kids out there like me, kids or adults for that matter. And so the only thing that I want to be is the person that I needed when I was younger to someone else. I want to be that person that's, you know, there to play basketball with you at 1 a.m. I want to be that person that's there to shake your hand and say, hey, like, I love your painting, or I'll come to your play, or hey, like, let's sit down and just play guitar together. Like, let me love on you, because I know that's what I needed. And moreover, I know that's what God was offering to me the entire time. But because I didn't understand love, I never understood God. And until you can understand love, you will never understand who God is or his purpose for your life, because you can't wrap your mind around the fact that someone likes you.
Right.
And so I want to be that person who's like, hey, like, you're cool. I think you're awesome. Like, you're loved. You're worth it. You're royalty. You're prized. And I think that you're cool. And so as a poet, like, I get to shout at you for about a half an hour. And then after that, like, I will be in that mosh pit with you, depending on who's playing, or I'll be jumping up and down or stage diving, whatever you want, as long as you know that you are not alone and that I am here not only because I know what that's like, but because I know of a God who's not leaving you either.
Right on. Right on. So that actually segues real nice. We were talking a little bit before the show about your piece When I Was Younger. And I've noticed now that I've written that down, you've used that phrase probably 10 times
yep.
since you've been in here.
Well, see, the issue is, like, I'm not much older. Like, I'm 18.
Right.
So there's not a lot of stuff that's happened when I was older.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just one of those things. A lot of the stories and a lot of the things that I learned did happen when I was, I would say when I was a kid, but for being honest, I really am a kid. and so it's just, it sounds like super adult and proper, and you could write it on an essay and your professor won't get mad at you type deal. So When I Was Younger is actually, it started as a poem to begin with. I had to write it for school and for morning meeting. And what it really was me trying to explain what happens when you become a high schooler. You come out of middle school, and whoever invented the idea for middle school and high school, we need to have a serious chat. Like, you have thrown together children with all sorts of hormones and backgrounds and acne and boys who haven't learned how to use deodorant yet into one gigantic building, and you don't expect anything bad to happen. It never works like that.
Right.
But the other thing that coming of age, at least for me, meant was the idea that even though I may have, like, ideas to end world hunger or come up with peace, I'm just 16. Like, no one's going to listen to me. I don't understand it yet. But when I was younger, I used to be able to dream. So, for example, my mother, who appears in a lot of these stories, is a horrible, horrible cook. And I swear this is going somewhere. She can burn water if she really tried. So when she announced that she was making lasagna, I knew that it was going to be an all-day affair. So, you know, like with lasagna, you've got to make the pasta and get the noodles right and get the sauce and get everything else. And then only if you're my mother, you've got to do it twice because you burn the first batch.
Right.
So this is the same time that I'm going through my superhero phase. Now, you guys know what the superhero phase is?
Yeah, Booba's in it still.
Yeah.
Yep, there we go. I'm just missing the cape. That's all I need for
right, yeah, exactly.
Right. So my superhero phase manifested in me wanting to be Superwoman. So my mom buys me the costume, or lack thereof, and hands me essentially underpants and a cape and says, you know.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. But on the same day that she gives me these things, she's also completing my bunk bed, which is like, we have the platform to get, the ladder to get up, the platform, and everything's all nice and built, except for the fact that there's no guardrail on the side. Mm-hmm. We haven't put it in yet. And the mattress is on the floor. My stuffed animals are all around it. This is going to go wrong really fast. So she announces she's making the lasagna, and I get all excited about the idea that my food might survive the inferno that is her cooking. And I get dressed into all of my superhero garb, and I realize something. Like, my stuffed animals are in need of saving from the dust bunnies in my corner.
Mm-hmm.
So I ascend my tower, a.k.a. my half-built bunk bed, And I do what any good superhero would do to get to their person in distress, which is fly. I thought I did it gracefully. Apparently I didn't.
Right.
My mother comes running upstairs when she hears, like, the thud. And she opens the door. I swear, like, you're a dad, right? Or in some capacity, yeah. Related in...
You're old.
Well, vintage. We use vintage.
Yes, I'm well-seasoned.
All right, there you go. So you'll know, probably better than parents, both parents in the room will know better, that you guys have the superpower. Like, you are FBI, CSI, like the CIA, DC, DC Talk, DVD, DVR, ACD, ADD, and ADHD all at the same time. So you'll come and open the door, and you will know exactly what's happened simply by virtue of the fact that your kid is in a heap on the floor with the cape. The stuffed animals are all look like they're being wrangled in, and the curtain is on fire, as well as the bunk bed is still broken. So you know what happened, but at the same time, you're gonna ask the same question. You're gonna look at me dead in my face and go, what you doing?
Right.
Yeah.
I mentioned before, I am a child of a lawyer. Therefore, I will argue you into a back wall if I can, and I will look at all of this evidence and look at you and go, nothing. My mother was not amused. On top of that, she still burnt the lasagna that night, which is a whole different story. But the idea is that no matter what it was or what stupid thing I wanted to do, she told me to reach for the sky. If that was as high as I could see. And then for the sun, the moon, the stars, and everything in between, as long as it was easily seen, that these three things came first. Now, those three things were my family, my education, and the thirst to know God. But when I was younger... Okay, so you've guessed it. I'm just a little odd. Look, the only thing that I wanted to be was a chemist. So that in the midst of the scientific community, it would be me who could be trusted to... blow stuff up. But that was when I was younger. My hunger for success would then progress to wanting to be a member of Congress, which I assume is before my mother taught me it was wrong to lie, I guess. But hey, never mind. I digress. This was all when I was younger. Back when my want for success rivaled my want for recess, and back when I thought if I did well in school, it meant that I was cool. And those who didn't dream were all fools and up as tools in a workshop called humanity. And this is the thought process of, like, 7-year-old me. But then I turned 8 and I discovered it was not that easy. Like, in the same day, I got bullied for both being too fat and then for being too skinny and then for being just the right size. I guess there are days, short and summarized, where you just can't win. Like... Catch 22, boo-hoo for you, and guess what? You're doing it over again. And then I feel like the light behind the eyes of the hopeful have been doused, because every time I leave the house to chat with my friends, I hear the same sentiments of success expressed above repeated back to me, and then I am the one that sees the results of the insults and of the pain, and it's reflected on the scar's membrane that lays plain on their skin, except when that's been experienced. I'm going to guarantee you, there is some form of hopelessness, depression, anxiety. It is all set in, and it's only because we can't see our own potential. And, well, I am forced to believe that I'm playing pickup games with ghosts, and the skeletons that host the dead hopes and dreams of my generation who's just now too scared to dare to believe. Guys, we used to think that we could dream. That we could be whatever we wanted to be, but now we have deemed it an impossibility to see the plans laid out for you or for me. Well, can I tell you what I see? I see past the years of weariness to a little girl. Used to see things that others just couldn't believe. You were a little girl that was a whole lot like me, and now you feel defeated by the situation and the circumstances the life has placed you in. I see past the years of rejection to a young man. He's put his action figures in witness protection the same way I would, regardless of whether my sister gets my go fish cards, but hey, never mind. I look at a time when every single one of us was younger. Back when our need for success melded our rest and our waking hours together, and back before a feather landed on the scales of life and it tipped us aside. But if it is just a feather... I mean, if it is light and paperweight, then isn't the gate to dreaming again in our hands today? Like... Guys, if it is just a feather, what's the problem with blowing it away? So I ask you to wait and not tune me out. Look, the amount of weight you're under isn't forever certain. Like, it's just a curtain high to you from the light of day. We're in Iowa, for Pete's sake. You guys know that when a thunderstorm rolls in, it never takes away the hope for seeing the sun again. So look, you're right. I don't know what you're going through. But here's what I do know. You are just like me, and I'm just like you. We are human in creation, purposeful in ordination, intent on seeing our salvation from these chains. I just want to tell you. Things change. It gets better, and sure, you might get a little wetter waiting for that rain to pass, but when it does at last, I can deem these the days that I used to have when I was younger.
All right, man.
Here's the thing. When she gets done doing that, I can't. I don't have anything to say. You know what I'm saying? Like last time, the last one he did, me and Boova stared at each other for like a minute while Ben was talking. I'm like, I hope he doesn't ask us to say nothing.
Yep.
I know. Because here's the thing. And here's what I realize having you guys in here is that there's certain things I'm just not capable of, right? Like there's certain modes of prayer that I don't do it on my own. There's certain ways of worshiping. I don't do it on my own. I just can't. It's just not how God built me, right? And you help me do that, right? There are certain ways that I feel that I can't describe, and I can't put a finger on it. I can't say what it is or what it ain't. And you help me to do that too. And so, like, there's things that you guys do that I can never do on my own. And I don't realize how important it is to me until it's in front of me. And so, you know, maybe just for a heads up, there are completely cardboard cutouts of emotional people. That's me. You know what I'm saying? Like there's things I just don't take the world in a deep and 3D way. It's pretty 2D for me most of the time, right? But when you do what you do, I start to see it deeper than I did. And when you explain it the way you explain it, I start to understand parts that I would just have gone, I don't feel right. You know what I'm saying? There's deeper than I'm just not right. Right?
It's like spiritual LSD. That's
correct.
What you're saying.
It's exactly right.
You expand my emotional and spiritual mind.
It's the truth. And here's the thing. Is like the parts of me that like I know are not capable of that, my daughters will come up and ask me questions, and I'll be like, I'm a 2D man. You know, she's having a hard time at school, or she doesn't feel like she's getting along, doesn't fit in, and she looks at me and I go, I don't know, those kids don't seem like they got it right. What else do you want me to say? They're wrong. You're awesome. That's all I know. I don't grasp deeper than that, right? I never have. And so thank you guys for coming in.
Yeah.
My pleasure, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Mike, we got one?
We can do one.
We got time for one. Boova, Street Preacher's going to have to wait till next week.
Oh, that's just fine. Okay. No, I don't even want to talk right now.
Okay. What is a female bear called?
An Eliza.
Sal.
Sal. That's correct. Dear Life from the Path.
I'm sorry. Can we accept Eliza as an option?
Yes.
Okay, good.
Yeah, I think so.
Moving on.
Dear Life from the Path. My ex-boyfriend and I broke up 2 years ago. We were together for nearly 3 years. A year into our relationship, we rescued a puppy. We broke up when she was 2. Since then, we have shared her on and off. This arrangement worked fine because we have both been single. I'm now in a new relationship and feel that my ex and I should cut ties.
Ooh.
Ooh. We recently had a falling out, but he still wants to share the dog until she is no longer in the picture. Life from the Path. Ooh. What?
Sorry, no, I'll wait.
Life from the Path. I don't feel like it's feasible for us to continue sharing our dog for the next 12 to 15 years. My ex has post-traumatic stress disorder, and I know she helps him. However, I feel like I can provide a better home for her and give her more attention. How do we decide who gets to keep the dog?
Dominic.
I would suggest that she cuts the dog in half.
What?
Solomon and the baby.
Yep. Dog.
That'll decide real quick who gets the dog.
Secular gunna.
Hey, can I chime in on this?
Yeah.
All right, cool. So just understand that you are talking to the terminally single one of the group. Coming from someone who's not yet been in a relationship, I just feel like the dog is almost symbolic of what you guys had. And because of that, and just the simple passing back and forth, that's the one tie that still reminds you of the times that you had in the 2 years that dog was in your home and that they were a part of your relationship. So the trick here isn't just deciding where the dog's going to go. It's deciding on the closure that you're going to get from those feelings and where you're at. So I think the first thing that your readers or your listeners are going to have to do is decide where she wants to go with it. the dog, by giving the dog to him, you understand that the dog might be able to help him through some of his PTSD symptoms, and that's great. But also understand that with this kind of relationship, especially one where intimacy and like romantic is involved,
right on.
where that kind of the same response.
Right.
Where that's involved, like there's been emotions and things that you won't be able to share with anybody else. With him, sometimes that's all within this dog that is still symbolizing that relationship.
Yeah.
So I think what you have to do is, one, be okay that the relationship is going to move on, where with or without you, probably without, just by the way that things are sounding, and then be able to separate your emotions from the life of the puppy. Once you can do that, and once you can come to terms and maybe have a conversation with him, I think that's where it starts first. It's just like, hey, you know, I know that we're thinking about this, and I know that the dog needs a home. Just kind of lay it out. And you might be surprised with what he says. But from what I heard, there wasn't really a conversation about, what are we going to do with the dog?
Yeah, the thing is, the only thing that knows how to love people in this whole story is the dog.
Is the dog.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, the man, if he has legit PTSD, right? Like, mm-hmm. And this dog is helping, you giving him
the
dog.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, is that dog coming to your house? Right, what, a better home, like what? You buy him an extra pillow? Or like, you know, you give... I mean, I've seen these dogs that eat out to garbage, right? They slobber over everything. I have a million dogs at my house all the time, right? And I like dogs. But the truth of the matter is, like, your version of a better home, a better environment, if it ain't giving the dog a chance to run, it's none of those things, right? Mm-hmm. Like the pillow or the dress... Or like a fancy bowl.
Most people's version of I can give the dog a better home is this dog brings me a lot of comfort.
Yes.
Right? Like whatever makes me comfortable, the dog obviously enjoys.
That's right.
It likes to sit on the bed. Well, I mean, it might like the bed, but there's probably 15 other things it lacks more. But since you can't offer them that, you're consoled with the fact that it digs on your bed.
That's right. That dog likes to lick its own butt, too. You know what I'm saying? And like you providing that environment is because the Lord gave him that. You didn't do nothing. Here's the deal. Like, it's a solid point. You owe this thing a conversation. But the truth of the matter is, the fact that you're having this conversation, you're just not quite getting love right. You're not getting it correctly. Yep. Give the man a dog, right? Just give him the dog. I mean, unless he's legitimately like hitting the dog, just give the man a dog. Give the man a dog.
Boo was trying to think if he can give advice starting with knick-knack
paddywhack.
That's what give the man a dog.
Okay, here we go. What was that? It's gone now.
Covers on your tour?
Oh, we do some covers.
Did you pick up a Neil Diamond tune like we discussed?
Oh my, see, there it is again. That's twice.
So the ongoing argument is he's a country singer masquerading in a CCM singer's body.
Yeah, were you gonna do I Am I Said?
No.
There you go.
I'm more of a song blue kind of guy.
Oh, I understand completely.
I mean, don't.
I'll do I Am I Said later. Okay, Secular's advice is, you have a new boyfriend. Your ex has PTSD and needs her more than you do. Unless the animal was somehow mistreated when she was with him, let him have her. Yeah, solid. Yeah, good. Done.
Great job, Secular.
That was it? That was the end of the thing?
Yeah.
I feel really bad about my answer now.
What?
Cut the dog in half.
No, I was going with the Solomon thing. Like, whoever wants the dog more?
Yeah, exactly.
No, you brought on biblical.
Give them the top part.
Hey, man, I don't mean to be insensitive, but if his PTSD is,
yeah, give him.
Someone might have been cutting half. Yeah. I'm gonna cook. That's cruel what you're doing. All right, hey, you're listening to Life from the Path. Big thanks to our guests, Dominic, Andrea, Egypt. You guys, thank you so much for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. Hopefully we can have you, whatever, to the thrift store. You're not a guest, thrift store priest.
I am, I said.
anyway, we'll get the clips up on the website. Make sure you go out to dig on Life from the Path. If you love the show, I'd like to know about it. Shoot us an email at info@lifefromthepath.org. If the show is terrible, I need you to email Chris Roloff at the Truth Network, and he'll handle all complaints.
Always has.
Yeah. I think it's c.roloff@wtru.com.
We haven't been
like
on his radio station in about a year now.
Yeah.
And you can still send off our complaint mail.
Yeah. I feel like that's his fault for having us on. That's a long-term problem that he's going to have to deal with. So anyway, you hate the show. I totally hear you. But here's the deal. You're up late at night listening to internet radio. So what does that say about your life? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Yeah. Before you start pointing fingers around. Why don't you go to bed?
Yeah. Although, hopefully, maybe Egypt and Driven Living to turn you around. You figure out something better to do.
That's
why. Here's the deal. The Lord is gracious and kind. That's why the listenership doesn't go up. They end up here in a hole, and the Lord rescues them.
I've been the internet hole. Thank you, Lord.
All right. Well, thank you guys for hanging out with us on the show. I really do appreciate it. Hey, until we see you next week, be faithful in the means. God will handle the ends. You've been listening to Live from the Path.